Hello, everybody. Welcome to the most fantastical, mystical, magical, final episode of Marvel Cinematic Origins.
We made it!
Woo! Down.
That's I did not think we would make. I thought we would abandon like halfway through.
We completed the whole thing.
We did
every Marvel movie release prior to Iron Man,
even Man Thing,
done and reviewed for your listening pleasure and your reference and research purposes and
grounding in the historical origins of all film that came to be known as Marvel.
Yeah, I'm sure people will reflect back on our podcast and
use it as
scholarly work when
it'll be buried in the time capsule. And
I picture it being
it'll be buried.
Listening.
That's for sure.
All right, so this is our final episode, and this week, as promised from episode one, we're ending with The Fantastic Four.
But before we get into it, I'm Graham.
Keith.
Paula.
And Keith.
I thought we were going like this way.
I thought we would be going.
Anyways.
The other way. We're in a semicircle and it got confusing.
Well, let's get down to business. I think the selection we have for this week is possibly one of my favorites. And it's hard to say, it's hard to say that because there have been so many other excellent movies, you know, The Punisher, some aspects of the Spider-Man films.
X-Men,
for sure. But Fantastic Four touches a special place in my heart.
Really? You like the Fantastic Four?
The Fantastic Four movies, two out of the four anyway, are films that I actually do watch and rewatch.
Oh.
And I enjoy. I enjoy because I have mentioned before, I have low standards. But before we get into which ones I truly love, I would like to ask folks, where would you like to begin? Chronologically or with a preference?
Well, what I think we should probably do is talk about the preference of what movies worked and why they worked. Mm. We have four movies, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then what movies don't work and why they don't work.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a formula that has been tried now in a few different ways. And I think we figured it out that if Marvel was ever to work out a Sony-like deal with Fantastic Four, I think we figured out maybe the key elements that Marvel would use to make their version of the Fantastic Four.
Mm.
So that's like where we're... That's our end game.
Right.
Is to get to that point. Because have you seen Spider-Man Homecoming?
Not yet.
It's good.
Very good.
It's so good.
I'm waiting.
It's like they listen to our podcast now.
One can only hope.
But you like the Fantastic Four. Like, they're one of your favorite properties.
I am a massive FF fan.
You've read the comics.
Absolutely. They're still one of my favorite comic books.
Which run?
The Mark Waid and Mike Waringo run is by far, to me, the pinnacle Fantastic Four run. It mixes high-profile science aspects and a lot of family and a lot of the relationship between Dr. Doom and Reed and Susan.
Mm-hmm.
And it plays Dr. Doom in sort of interesting ways. That's my favorite. I have yet to read the much-acclaimed Hickman run. One day, I will get to read that run.
You haven't?
No.
Okay.
Because they collected in these giant hardcovers, and those hardcovers are well out of print, and they go for several hundred dollars each.
Jeez.
It's the same as Ed Brubaker's Captain America run. It was five giant omnibuses, or like 20 trades.
Yeah.
So the thing is you get the five omnibuses, but those five usually go for about 400 US.
So they balance out. It's like you might as well just get the trade.
Yeah, it's close, but it's okay. Shelf space, too. The 20 trades take up more space.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. So why don't you, Graham, start with your preferences, and then we can just go off from there.
My preferences are the middle two. I found them.
I figured. That was my guess.
My preferences are for those because I enjoy sitting down and watching them. They're easy to digest. And they also have some big name cast, which I can truly enjoy. The special effects are good. There's a lot of cheese, but there's also enough drama that keeps me playing along with this the story. But it might also be by comparison to the bookenders, the most recent and the earliest, that I am preferring these two. But we can go on with the elemental analysis here.
Well, if I were to rank them, I'd say the Fantastic Four that was in 2004.
So there's the Jessica.
Yeah.
I like to refer to them by nicknames.
Jessica Alba.
There's Jessica Alba's Fantastic Four, and then that's two films. Then you have I call it the New Fantastic Four,
right?
Or Fan Four Stick.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Roger Corman Fantastic Four.
Oh right.
Yeah. Oh my God, that was glorious.
So I liked the first one, the first Jessica Alba one, in 2004, and then I liked the Roger Corman one.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes Silver Surfer, and then the
Fan
Four Stick.
I accept that ranking.
That's my ranking.
My ranking is Jessica Alba's first Fantastic Four film. Then it's Roger Corman's film.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's Rise of the Silver Surfer.
So all the same as mine.
And then it's the 1966 Fantastic Four cartoon where they got rid of Human Torch and they replaced him with a robot named Herbie. Because they thought a man on fire is just not good for kids.
Yeah, fair.
And then it's probably like Fantastic Four's guest appearances in any sort of anything. And then maybe it's like some Halloween cosplayers that come to my door and trick or treat. And then further down is Fan Four Stick.
You seem to have some sort of issue with Fan Four Stick.
Oh, yes.
Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe we should start with that.
It's like I heard very bad things about it, but even going in with that in mind, I was still like severely disappointed.
I have never been so bored in a film. Like, yeah. That is supposed to be action or supposed to be.
The other movies we've covered that are not good movies, there was still like something there to keep. Like, I've never. What was it?
Those Captain America films?
Yeah.
I would watch those again. They're fun.
Yeah.
The Punisher with Dolph Lundgren, amazing.
Magnifique.
But this one, it was like soulless. Like, wasn't that the way I described it? It was like...
Okay, let's start with the elements about this movie that we did like, because that's a short discussion. I enjoyed looking at young Reed and young Ben.
I really like that.
Those first 7 minutes?
Yep.
Fine.
That's a good place to start. I enjoyed the way that Ben Grimm is truly a hulking, terrifying monster when he's turned into the thing. That's fair to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't mind the actors. They were not the problem, I don't think.
It's true. It's true. And I appreciate that they cast Michael B. Jordan, I believe.
Yeah.
And riled up the racists. And I always support when people can
like
piss
that.
Off a racist.
I do like that.
I think that gives it points.
However,
I would just like to say, I think that if they wanted to be really progressive, instead of casting a black person as Johnny Storm, cast him as Reed Richards.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the brainy character, the hero, essentially, of this story.
Right.
I think that would have been far more progressive.
Except in this one, he wasn't really, like, none of them were really heroes.
No,
yeah.
Like, they didn't really, stop crime, did they? They just had to battle Doom.
They
right?
just went to try to, like, get their friend, and he was
Oh, no, they
crazy.
Were essentially, like, mercenaries.
Oh, yeah,
like,
child soldiers.
Soldiers.
Yeah, they
yeah.
were, yeah. They were definitely, yeah. like, the army's playthings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
I like...
Reed was a sniveling wimp. Which
yeah.
I think he's a lot braver in any of the other films.
For me, the biggest problem of many in this film is the biggest problem is that this is not Reed Richards' story. It's not his failure that causes this, right? It's Mr. Storm's fault, basically.
The dad.
It's like they're his kids working on his project at his little school thing, and he's working with the government, and he has them build this thing. And they get drunk and they're like, screw it, we want to be the astronauts.
That was so weird.
And they don't even take Sue.
He's like,
Sue didn't even go with them. But she's got to stay back and be the computer person who then gets hit by like a residual blast. So stupid. And the guy that, Dr. Doom, was so terrible. He's, oh my God.
Yeah, the worst Doom ever. I didn't think there could be a worse Doom than the one in...
Oh, give them time. They'll make another one.
But this one was really bad. Really bad.
True. These are valid points.
And then they skip 1 year later, like they don't even go through training together.
No.
The step where they bond through their powers and become a team, like a family.
Because they
like,
don't, because Ben Grimm is off killing people.
And then Reed runs off.
Reed's,
like,
Reed's
no
basically
way.
Playing the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
And then you have this the brother and sister who are learning about their powers and angry and they don't want to go into the field. So when do they ever have time to bond? They've had like 6 months of building the machine and they don't even know Ben Grimm. The movie structurally has major issues.
It's like, I get what they were trying to do with this whole wave of realism. Mm. Like, but out of all the superhero properties, this is the least one that needs realism. Like, the word fantastic is in the title. Like, you do not, like, dial that down so it's gritty and real. It's like, no, you dial it up, and that's what the other two movies did, and they were good.
Although, with the realism point, I would like to say that of all the movies... This one had the most realistic reaction of the military. I think that is probably
That's
accurate.
True.
Like, if anyone suddenly went to another universe and came back with powers, you would definitely be, like, property of some giant government arm.
Not just that, but when Reed, like, stretched and he passed out, like, that's a realistic reaction.
Yeah, shock.
Like, you would just pass out and be like, oh, shit, I have powers now.
It freaked me out.
Or, like, powers, like, they don't even... mention it as powers.
It's not really, no. It's like, what happened to us? I thought the special effects of Human Torch were the best.
Oh, yeah.
We've
really
seen.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they really
but
nailed
that's not
that.
The problem, either.
No. It's just, the whole movie is just tonally wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea that they don't go in space, they're using that Ultimate Fantastic Four, where they're, like, going to this other dimension.
Mm.
That, to me, is not... the best origin story.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not a movie then about being the Fantastic Four. What that is, that's basically an adventure story, and they should be going exploring. Instead of just going there and coming back and then getting powers and saving the Earth. No, you've literally found another planet. This is a totally different movie now. Now we're talking about, like, Earth 2 or Stargate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, basically, you're mashing Stargate now with... superheroes, and it doesn't work. What we ended up with was a really shitty Stargate film.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, like, the whole thing fundamentally just doesn't really work. Ben Grimm is naked the whole time with a rock cod piece. Just put pants on him.
No wonder he's pissed.
You're trying to show realism, so just put pants on him.
But if they're trying to show realism, how did Dr. Doom survive a year on an alien
Right.
planet?
That's what you were saying. Like, you were like, did he eat?
Yeah, what's he been
eating?
He just absorbs,
like,
energy?
He's an energy vampire now.
And now I guess, like, he wants Earth to be, like, his planet?
No,
like,
no,
really
he wants... It seemed like he just wanted to stay on his planet.
Destroy Earth. Like,
I don't
know. Like, there's some
of course, the same
dimensions.
Yeah, like, they got the fucking tower thing, and there's, like, energy beams. It's all the same.
And, like, he somehow can manipulate matter and energy in a way.
Oh, yeah, he's like a super Skrull almost. Oh,
then,
God.
Yeah.
Overpowered Dr. Doom. Looked crazy.
Yeah,
you know,
look was weird.
Ugh, just so bizarre. Anyways, there really isn't much to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
On my recommendation scale, I recommend...
Never
seeing it. It is literally a waste of your time that you will never get back.
Fair.
But that's just me.
Do you recommend it?
Not really. I mean, I've watched it, and I could see myself watching it again if I had nothing else to do, but it's
really?
Not a good movie. I have a lot of empty time about it. It's definitely not the best of the Fantastic Fours. It's actually, of the four, the
but
least
you...
fantastic.
Next one. But you liked Silver Surfer?
I did. I liked
Why?
Silver Surfer. I'm intrigued by the storyline. I like Galactus as a character.
But he was just
not
a cloud.
Really a character, an angry cloud.
Yeah, like
and I like
really
Lawrence Fishburne. Lawrence Fishburne makes me happy. I'm a Lawrence Fishburne fan. Part of his school, some would say.
My issue with the second Fantastic Four. Because the first one ends and you don't really need a sequel. It's not set up like our... See, at this point in Marvel movie history, we're not sequel baiting. if you get a sequel, you get a sequel, and they start kind of fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So the first Fantastic Four movie ended, and it's all great.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do the Silver Surfer storyline, and that's fine. My issue is that it was basically a Silver Surfer movie with a little bit of Reed Richards tacked onto it.
Mm-hmm.
There's the gearing up for the wedding stuff is kind of awkward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
The bachelor party says awkward.
That was weird.
It's like they used all their good material for the family bonding and teasing and relations in the first film.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, they were like, well, we're going to really spend our time trying to develop a Galactus and a Silver Surfer that people will get, because we don't think they'll get a giant purple guy from a previous galaxy, a previous reality or something.
Yeah, like, they didn't trust their audience before as much as they do now, mm-hmm. where, like, mm-hmm. Guardians gets greenlit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
mm-hmm.
okay, no one, like, except for the really Marvel fanboys knows about this, but because of the success of our other movies, they're gonna go on, like, get on board.
So
exactly.
It sort of paved the way.
It
yeah.
did.
And also, like, wasn't there, like, a version of Galactus, like, possibly Galacticus, I think they might have called it, that was sort of this, like, cloud-like
that I'm unsure of. But
I'll
I know
there was a version at some point that was not the giant purple man. It was somebody, like,
I know a lot of people
monster.
Were pissed about this, though.
Yeah. To me, it was just that the Silver Surfer is such a unique property that I think if Marvel were to do it now, he would maybe appear at the end of a Fantastic Four movie and would probably get his own film.
Yeah.
You know?
They would do it now, yeah.
I don't know if they would. I think that he would get his own film, and then there would be a crossover between, like, the Silver Surfer Fantastic Four. You'd have, like, a team-up film, maybe.
I feel like that's too obscure.
Sorry.
I mean, I guess
there's
a rich history, but I feel like it's too obscure to trust that people would want to see a Silver Surfer movie.
People love the Silver Surfer.
I mean, yeah, but they also...
People do.
He's already had one movie, and they also did a Doctor Strange film again, and they did Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, and Ant-Man.
And he's, like, more popular than those movies.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
For me,
didn't he have his own comic book?
Oh, he does. He's had it for forever. I think one of the bigger issues now is that what Marvel... since Iron Man is doing, is saying, trust us now. When we put our name on a film, you're going to want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Black Panther is getting a movie.
Mm-hmm.
A massive movie. Like, I'm pretty sure the Silver Surfer would be fine.
Yeah.
Maybe it would be
They'll assign it to, like, the director du jour.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's kind of what Marvel's MO is now. I mean, it was fine. Like, I don't really care for it as a film. I felt it was kind of unnecessary.
They made Sue look weird.
Yeah, Jessica Alba's contacts and wig in that movie.
They didn't need that. She looked fine in the first one.
I think they just lost some budget.
Possibly.
Really?
Yeah, like, they couldn't get enough budget, or maybe she didn't want to dye her hair.
Remember the one where they, like, switched all their powers? Like,
yeah, but you're spending that on those.
I guess.
You know?
She just looked weird. And I didn't like, I'd forgotten about this, but then we watched, like, the CinemaSins YouTube video for this one.
Hmm.
So, you should watch it on YouTube.
And CinemaSins is a...
It's a channel that basically goes through movies and counts the sins. It's like, oh,
they
recap. And then, it's like a
These
recap.
These are the glorious heirs.
So the twist with the Silver Surfer doing it for love...
Oh.
And then also having the capacity to defeat Galactus inside him all along, but still going along with it, that's a huge plot hole. I was like, then why wouldn't he just, like, kill the dude?
Right.
Mm.
Like, where's his girlfriend?
Touché. She's probably long gone.
Yeah, long dead.
Years.
So it was, like, weird for me.
Yeah, fair.
It wasn't as bad as...
Oh, no, not even. Like, I would watch it again.
Yeah, I watch it. If it's on TV, I wouldn't turn it off.
Sure.
That's
I mean, they do it.
I see it.
Because they have the Fantasticar in the sequel, which is my favorite. I love the Fantasticar.
It is pretty cool.
And
I also enjoy when the Thing fights the bear. I enjoy that.
And
it,
I like Kerry Washington in the thing.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm glad it got a sequel. I'm just not glad that it was mostly focused on the Silver Surfer.
Mm-hmm.
However,
and then Dune comes back. That was weird.
Yeah,
I'm a goodish guy.
Yeah, I mean, there's clearly missteps with Fantastic Four that are easy to make, and I think what we find is when you stray from the core of what makes the Fantastic Four work, and I think what the first Jessica Alba movie and the Roger Corman movie did is they sort of understood the core a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say that if I could have the Doom from the Roger Corman film in the Jessica Alba Fantastic Four,
that would be
great. Perfect. Now we're cooking.
Yeah. Okay.
Because the Doom in the Alba version is just not the electric powers and the...
And the look that he's, like, becoming metal? Like,
yeah, I don't like that.
Like, why is he becoming metal?
Yeah.
Right. The best thing about the Roger Corman 1994 film...
Is Dr. Doom.
He is amazing from the first moment that you meet him.
Like, as Victor.
As Victor. Then you fear him dead. You know, his lackeys transport him back to Latveria, where he becomes a crazy monarch,
mm-hmm.
dressing in all this armor. He has Doom bots.
Mm-hmm.
He makes amazingly fabulous entrances and exits.
Yeah, and then the one where he's, like, talking to an empty room because they escaped. I love that scene. It's just like, that would happen. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes bad guys are like...
Damn it, I'm monologuing too strongly.
I loved his armor.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked this look. Did you like it?
I had no beef with it. I was watching, like, a shitty YouTube version, so my
same
opinion was not very...
It was never released officially, so that's the only way you can watch it.
Ooh. Even the DVD version that I bought, like, 15 years ago.
DVD version?
Yeah. Even the quality of that was just ripped from...
The YouTube one?
Just prior to YouTube.
Oh, right.
Was ripped from, like, tapes that somebody had smuggled, right?
Apparently, it was never supposed to be released.
Mm. Fair enough.
It was only for the rights.
Renew it. It was a right renewal.
To retain the rights. But that sucks, though, for the actors that were involved. Do you think
they
told them, like, this is not going to be...
So, here's the thing. Well, I agree with you, Graham, that, like, the monster version in the Fan 4 stick was very good-looking in some...
Thing?
Yeah, it was very good-looking in some ways. The animatronics of the Roger Corman thing with the mouth and the teeth and the way he looked were awesome.
Okay, that's actually one thing I noticed. Like, the face was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else was terrible. But the face, with the way the lips could actually
pop
and
how
stuff,
did they
that
do
so
that?
Cool.
That
it's
was
classic
the...
animatronics.
It's impressive. I'll
it's like
that.
The dinosaurs.
Yeah, basically.
From Jurassic Park.
True.
Or I thought you meant the dinosaurs television show.
That's where I was too.
Yeah.
Or both.
Or both.
All the dinosaurs.
Okay.
I actually really enjoy the Corman film because it's cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
And even the B story with the jeweler slash mole man character,
mm-hmm.
and Alicia. It links all back.
I like how it kind of had more of a focus on Ben in his world, like,
yeah,
than, say,
true.
On Reed. I also kind of like and was kind of shocked to see Dexter from The Offspring playing Johnny Storm. Who would have thought?
Is that...
No, it's not actually him.
Oh.
It just looks an awful lot like him.
You did a double take.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
No, but it's just Johnny Storm was kind of ridiculously... I don't know. He looked weird in, like, a sort of 90s pop star way. And I think maybe they were going for that.
He was like a 40-year-old man that was still trying to play 20.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
But
he clearly enjoyed playing that role, which was fine.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the Reed was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
I didn't like the Reed Sue stuff. Only because they started, like, her as a child.
Right?
And that seemed really creepy.
I was kind of waiting to drop this. I was like, so does anyone else have an issue with the pedophilia vibe in this movie?
He didn't like her when he was doing his master's degree, and she was, like, 15.
But
he just groomed her for a decade until she was old enough to
see that. She had a crush on an older guy. That happens a lot.
But, like, what is their age difference?
Huge.
He was doing... No.
No.
How old are you when you're doing your... How old are you when you're doing a master's degree? When you start your first year?
23.
23? What time did you start university?
17. So, 4 to 5 years. Be 21 to 22.
Yeah.
23.
Oh, everyone I know was like, you start at like 17, 18.
Yeah.
You're done by 21. You start your master's at like 22.
Oh, we do a 4-year undergrad if you're going to go on to a master's.
Yeah, you can still do a 4-year if you're 17 to 22.
22. And then
right.
The following year, 23.
No, but you would start at 22.
23
would be your next year.
Well, whatever.
Finishing your master's.
It
if
doesn't
you finish
matter.
His master's degree at 23.
And a science master's is usually like a 2-year master's.
Yeah, so he was 23. If he was 23 years old and she was 15, that's how big of an age difference?
Almost a decade.
Almost 8 years.
Well, it's like
He meets her again 10 years later.
I don't know.
It's just
she's
weird.
25 years old.
You know why it's weird? Because you knew them as a child.
I'm just saying.
It's like if you know someone as a child. You would not. It's like
it's inappropriate
listen,
to hook
I'm
up with someone who you're
dating. I'm just
sounds
saying
like
it's not.
It.
No, what I'm saying is that they were very clear. I think it's an easy jab. I think it's an easy joke. It's a Twitter joke. It's easy to make. But they were very clear. If you watch the film, he ignored her. He was not grooming her. He was not making googly eyes at her. He was oblivious to her. He only even recognized her as a woman when he met her again 10 years later.
And
so
then
he
thought with his dick instead of his brain when they recruited like these kids.
Agreed.
To go to
he made
space.
A bad choice to
like,
take them to space.
It's like, oh, you're coming to space.
Listen, fault him for taking unqualified people into space, but don't fault him for grooming somebody like a pedophile because that is not what happened.
It's still weird. That's not what we said. We're
That's
human.
What I am saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not what I said. I just think it's still creepy.
Well, two out of three of us can't do that.
It's still
they're, the story of them being in university or like in the Alba films where she worked for Victor, those are obviously better.
Yes, obviously.
Yes.
Much better.
I'm not defending the choice. I'm just saying that it was clear they were aware that people might think that.
Okay, no.
All
right.
Why were they all foster children? That, to me, is a bigger story problem.
True.
Every one of them is a foster child. Ben was 40.
Yeah.
You can still be a foster child.
I think that, without having to belabor this point too much further, Fantastic Four strikes me as something that has a family appeal.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when they made this Corman version, I feel like they had the young children, Johnny and Sue, at the beginning, in order to hook the family audience. Which makes it weird for me later on when it becomes romantic.
Yes. That's
like,
that's
completely
what,
fair.
Yeah, that's
that
what
is
I thought,
weird
too.
For you, completely fair.
Because when I first was watching it, and then the kids came, I was like, oh, they're going to do it like Spy Kids. Like the two.
It's gonna,
like,
which
would be
terrible.
The
like babysitting in space.
Oh.
I love Spy Kids.
Well, I don't. But
okay.
Anyway. Please continue.
But that's what I thought, is that, like, oh, they're going to have, like, kids in space, or somehow it's, like, a space
somehow
program.
Somehow they'll grow up
I'm
because
sure,
of the radiation.
Whatever.
Like, that's
yeah.
what I was thinking at first.
Yeah, I don't know. But then it was, like, fast forward to however many years later, and then they're, like, making googly eyes at each other, and I was like, what the hell? It was weird.
Okay. Well.
And the Mole Man was weird.
The Mole Man was
and his
weird.
Obsession with that lady.
Yeah, his outsider queen.
Oh my god, that was so painful to watch.
She was blind. She
every time
him
he was
for
he went
he was.
On screen, I was just like, no.
But
I
loved
out.
How Alicia was a sculptor, because you know later she's going to be working with the rocks, right? I mean, see that coming. And then, I think the other thing I found enjoyable, I don't know if they did this intentionally, maybe it was an accident, but the delivery guy who had kind of like the Thor wingtips coming out of his cap.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed
that.
Funny,
yeah.
I thought they were trying to make a reference there, but maybe it's just, you know, me reading too much into it.
I thought they missed an opportunity for Stanley to cameo as the professor in the beginning. It was like,
yes.
Why didn't he do that?
It could have been great.
If it was for wide release, they probably would have done that.
Because he was, like his name mm-hmm. was in the credits. Like, he was
yeah.
involved
was he?
In some capacity, I'm not sure.
Well, this is like baby, right?
No, but he was also like interviewed like in the wiki entry for this movie.
Mm.
Like he was interviewed like I don't think this was ever going to be released.
No.
Something he
yeah.
said or something
you
like that.
You found out about that?
Just like maybe that's why like I'm not going to appear in it because it's not going to be released.
Touche. I guess one question I have about this film would be the Colossus energy. Now, you know the comics better than I do. Was Colossus ever a thing? Or is that just...
No, again, just like how they called him the jeweler.
Yeah.
As far as what I know, and someone could pull out an obscure reference and maybe prove me wrong, but
yeah.
The cosmic cloud or the energy, the cosmic rays that come through and change them
no.
was not called Colossus, and it wasn't something that I remember.
I think she just thought it sounded cool, so maybe...
That's what I'm thinking. It could have been a throwaway line from, like, a Fantastic Four comic, but I'm going to err on no.
Fair. Because I've never even heard of something like this in reference, like...
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Oh, I did not like that their powers were linked to their personalities.
Yeah.
I was like, this is bullshit. Like, you're
Holy
just
Freud,
like...
Batman.
It's too easy.
And they mentioned Batman.
Yeah, that always throws me off. It's too easy. It's such an easy... Link as a writer to say,
like,
Johnny,
oh,
you're
you
a hot
are shy, so you're turning invisible. It's like, oh, great.
But it
but
is aren't? Kind of that way, though.
But is it, like...
That is their characters,
that's what,
right?
That wasn't, like, why
okay.
they got those powers.
The Fantastic Four have been around for 75 years, and their origin story has probably been retold, I'm going to say, at least 15 times.
So at least one of those retellings.
Oh, I'm going to probably say that at least one is going to make some sort of allusion to their powers being based on their desire or personality or what thought was going through their head at the time.
I don't think that's what it started out as.
I don't think so. I don't remember that either.
And so when we're getting into this conversation, because I can totally see that being true of, like, the Fantastic Four in general,
mm-hmm.
but the Four Fantastic, or whatever you were calling them, their powers come out because of the terrible accident, the blending of the power of the cosmic rays, right? Like, Thing is rock-like because he was buried in rock.
Oh,
Johnny
yeah,
was
yeah,
on fire
right.
because he was, like, caught in a terrible burn.
Yeah, but what about Reed? He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know about Reed. And
yeah, because he
and
made me rewind that.
Blasted by...
She was blasted with something
yeah.
as it came through. I don't know.
This theory is a little half-baked.
Again, it's like they went halfway with it. And they ran out of... They went to that same problem. Like,
yeah,
ah,
like you...
we'll pelt Ben with rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe fire can hit Johnny.
Yeah, because you saw that too.
Yeah.
And you were like, rewind, something happens to Reed. And we rewatched that.
I thought it was
going to
be like sand or silicate or something. But it was not. It was just another shot of Ben. We didn't pelt it with more rocks.
Mm.
And then what about
I would
Sue?
Have looked for Sue, but they, you know, left her behind because she's a woman.
Which is quite aggressive.
It was 2015 when they made this film. Leave Sue behind. Us boys are going to go adventuring.
Woo!
Yeah, you were going to be like, oh, Sue, the mom, is going to come in and berate them or
mm-hmm.
something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Weird.
Forget Sue, the person that helped us build this. I'm going to get my boy Ben from the junkyard to come with us. Like,
he knows about intergalactic travel.
They were so obsessed with that Dr. Doom actor, I think, that they really wanted... him to be part of the crew and have that his fake death work. That whole movie, that 2015 film, is so terrible.
Okay, I think we're all in agreement on this.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the films. I guess Keith, earlier you were saying that there are certain elements that makes a Marvel movie work.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think those elements are?
So. At least with Fantastic Four, the elements that you could take from the Corman film and the first Jessica Alba film that you could say those things worked were the Dr. Doom played as an evil scientist. Like, use the Dr. Doom from Corman. They were colleagues in their graduate studies.
Mm-hmm.
They were working on something together.
Mm-hmm.
Doom gets seriously injured working on something.
Mm-hmm.
Doom then continues to follow Reed and grow angry and jealous. And he's this monarch, and he's going to do it his way. And he becomes obsessed, and that works.
Like, he becomes Dr. Doom before...
Before
like
the
not
fantastic...
a result of...
Exactly. What doesn't work is when you tie in Doom's powers to the Fantastic Four's powers. Then he just becomes, oh, he's the part of the team that just turned evil.
Right.
But the idea that Dr. Doom and Reed have this backstory, and this is something from his past that is coming back, that realization, that setup really, really works.
So that's where the Corman film exceeded the other ones.
Exactly.
It worked out well.
And the first Alba film, I think what you would take from there that works is that the Fantastic Four is a fun film
yeah.
where every member of the family teases and treats each member of the family like families or blended families
yeah.
do.
That worked out well.
I mean, think about it. It really is a blended family. It's like you got your the mom and the dad, and then you have like the brother that lives in the basement, and then there's like the best friend that's always around helping you, you know, take care of the kids or whatnot. And then in the comics, when the Fantastic Four really hits its stride, is when they bring on the kids, Franklin, Valerie.
The Richards children.
Yeah, and you bring on the daughter as well. That really, really starts to make that original family plot start to really sink in. And Franklin's been around since the 80s. I mean, it was... Mm-hmm. So
they had kids, like, right away.
They had kids very soon. And even before that, they had girlfriends that were there and staying with them. And like, from the Inhumans. It was a family. It was a blended family. They were always adding members and taking care of them. They had this giant complex.
Mm-hmm.
That's what works. So, for me, Marvel would take those things. They would make it a family adventure film where the Baxter Building's this... science area /
hostel for interdimensional
hostel for family for blended
even
family
see
people
it more like as a TV series.
You could run it as a TV series.
Like, remember that one where
Ordinary Family?
Yeah,
coincidentally,
the guy, like, isn't that the same guy? Like
Michael Chiklis. Yeah, that was a good show as well. I mean, you could do it that way. But I think what they would do is it's about the Fantastic Four exploring the unknown, exploring the fantastic.
Yeah, it's like if they want to tie it into the Marvel Cinematic Universe now, they would have to make it as a movie because it would be isolated as a TV show.
Right, and the main thing is that they need Doom.
Hmm.
The universe, like, I mean, we just finished watching Spider-Man, and what I realize now is, okay, things are happening, but, man, they need Doom.
Because, like, they're running through their big villains now, and they're going to need, like...
You mean the MCU needs Doom?
Correct.
Yes,
Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Yes. Both.
Well, both would need Doom. But, yeah, the MCU needs Dr. Doom. And hopefully the success of Spider-Man Homecoming will lead Fox to say, you know what, like, why don't we just cash the checks, man? Like, let's just cash the checks. We'll do X-Men and let's co-pro Fantastic Four so we're not losing money on this.
I wonder how they could do that, though, because they've tried, like, recently in two major outings, they've tried to do Fantastic Four. It feels too recent to give it another shot.
Well, wasn't
when was
Spider-Man
the last Andrew Garfield
recent?
Spider-Man?
Yeah, they should just... Yeah, not too sure.
People don't care.
I guess not.
They really just want it done well.
Mm.
And tied into, like,
and
if it's Marvel,
in.
It has to be in the MCU.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I'm thinking. Like,
yeah. And when you, if you were to take those two good Fantastic Four movies, and if
I
you were to,
X-Men
in your mind, yeah, I don't think X-Men actually works in the MCU. I think we talked about that during our X-Men episode.
Even though when you go and read, like, the comics for, like, the Infinity Gauntlet, there are X-Men characters in there.
Right. It's like, still... When you read X-Men for a long time, you kind of start to notice that, oh, yeah, like, they meet Captain America, kind of. Oh, yeah, Miss Marvel's there for a minute.
In their own
but
world.
They're really in their own world.
Mm-hmm.
They really aren't like everybody else.
Because then it opens, like, a lot of questions.
It really does, fundamentally, yeah.
It's like, why did they have to develop a super serum for Captain America if they already had mutants?
Right. So we can't think of it. You really can't think about it too hard. Marvel Zombies kind of sometimes have answers for it, but they also will agree... At the same time, like, yeah, I like the X-Men. It's the same thing. Some comic readers, they just read X-Men books and Batman. Like, those are the two where you don't really need to read anything else.
They were the big names.
But if you were to look at these two Fantastic Four films in your mind, blend them together in a big blender, and imagine what Marvel could do with the core elements that worked, I really think you've got something. I mean, I think you could have characters that went up into space, let's say they were on the Challenger or something, you know?
Oh.
And the Challenger didn't explode, it got zapped to another...
Or, alternatively, you could have, like, an end credits scene where there's, like, Reed, Sue, Ben, Victor, Johnny on a space station of some sort, and part of the battle between some galactic hero in one of the upcoming movies accidentally blasts them with rays, throwing them to Earth, formed into their own Fantastic
Four. And there's a lot of ways to do it.
That's the argument, like, the people were saying, like, that's why they didn't go to space, because, like, all of space is already, like, explored, like, it was not the final frontier anymore. It's like, what do you mean? Like, just because... like, aliens exist or, like in the MCU or whatever, that, like, Guardians is in space or there are these other planets. And, like, that doesn't mean, like, humans would stop space exploration altogether.
Exactly. Yeah, like, you don't need to go to another dimension because that's... You went to another dimension because cosmic rays were too unbelievable?
It's like, oh, they wouldn't go to space for that.
Like, that kind of made no sense to me.
Actually, you would go to space more. There would be, like, field trips in space. So
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
In the MCU, there is 100% believability that they would be going to space.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Stark would have, like...
No, I'm telling you.
He's already gone to space.
Yeah,
right.
He's gone to space. If they were to, if the MCO was to do it, Reed Richards would basically be Elon Musk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Building his own
like,
space program.
Like, Tony Stark could just name drop, like, oh yeah, my friend Reed or whatever. Like,
well, that's actually what I think would happen. You have Tony Stark, who's like this billionaire magnate, you know, like a, you know, company technology, and then you have this upstart Elon Musk guy, Reed Richards, who all of a sudden invents this battery or whatever it is, and he's like the big shot, and he's developing this rocket to go to space. It basically is Elon Musk.
Now, I say this before seeing Homecoming, but
okay.
I wonder if you could weave Fantastic Four into Spider-Man, because when Spider-Man had the alien symbiote in the comics, when he was originally trying to figure out what it was and to get rid of it, he went to the Fantastic Four for help.
Right.
Which could easily be a way to tie them in, sort of, and then create the Venom.
It could. Again, like, the back... Because you only watch one character's storyline in any given movie of the MCU, you don't really know the whole universe. You know maybe who has powers. You know who's come out and who's famous.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that Reed Richards could be this Elon Musk character is totally believable. Maybe he just hasn't gotten his powers yet. Doesn't mean that he's still not the smartest man on Earth. And
yeah, like they,
you know.
They like what they did with Doctor Strange.
Exactly.
It was like, even now, like now that he is Doctor Strange, it's not like he's like famously Doctor, like
no.
The world knows he's Doctor Strange or
absolutely.
Whatever. Like he operates in the under...
In the underground, yeah. Like, that's... You know, we have technically Daredevil and the Punisher all in the MCU, technically.
Yes.
But they're not involved in the main movies because their storylines don't need to be there.
They're lower level.
As much as I would love
level.
To see Spider-Man and Daredevil team up and you know...
I mean, they do live in New York.
Yeah.
So, maybe.
But alas, it shall never happen.
Yeah.
At least not anytime soon.
So who owns Fantastic Four?
Fox.
And Fox owns X-Men?
Correct.
And
they used to own Daredevil.
Oh. Okay.
And they let Daredevil lapse.
And then Sony is Spider-Man.
Correct.
And now Sony is working with Marvel.
They're working with. And Paramount is... Paramount or Columbia, I think it's Paramount maybe, still technically own distribution for Hulk, which is why he hasn't had his own movie.
Not that he needs his
own. No, he really doesn't. That one was enough.
And plus, he's in Thor Ragnarok.
So. Yeah, that's the great thing. Put him in Avengers films. Put him in Thor. But I really... after watching and going through all four of these movies again, it just makes me...
Especially after seeing Homecoming.
I'm so desperate for Fox to
share. It's like,
share.
It can be done. Like, you don't have to see the rights, like the whole right.
This is
partner.
This is it. This is the last holdout now. And I think what would happen is if, because X-Men people get it, they're like, they're fine. They seem to be doing interesting stuff there.
Yeah. The,
and it would be kind of confusing. Maybe one day in Avengers versus X-Men
film. They're filming
but,
Dark Phoenix and
yeah,
Montreal.
And that's
oh, cool.
fine. Like they're
yeah.
they're doing it. But I think if people were like, the Fantastic Four is coming back, I actually think it would be the biggest release of a new film because it would be the
even after the 2015 fiasco
because it would
Marvel's
be
in it.
Because it would be the last film it's like the whole universe now would that superhero side the non-mutant side the whole universe
would be complete
but how would they fit it in though like
we
kind of
just
have,
talking
we,
like
we
any,
kind of have
you
a,
any,
we,
any way
well, no, I mean like the MCU has the map of what they're doing for the next like decade.
Well,
I mean, you can kind of see where it's all going. Where would you plop a Fantastic Four?
Do you know, like, I think like, when they run out of properties or, like, their plan or how... I don't know how long their plan is up until, like, what year or whatever.
Right.
But when they start, like, throwing ideas like, oh, we're going to do, like, Squirrel Girl or, like, I don't know, like, the obscure...
That's going for TV, right?
Ones, it's like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, they're doing
or,
more
like,
television.
But I think, like, they would review Fantastic Four and see how that'll fit. Because eventually, like, the big names, like, you're going to start, like,
exactly.
running out.
So here's the thing. If they could, Kevin Feige has said they're going, like, the first era of Marvel films, like, 22 films or something. So basically the sequel of Spider-Man Homecoming is the beginning of the next era of Marvel.
Ooh.
Okay? So that's the, you know, we're going to get Black Panther 1,
yeah, like,
Spider-Man 1.
Their contracts are lapsing.
Right.
They're retiring.
So you're burning.
Yeah.
Think about this. You're burning Captain America. We know Chris Evans isn't going to do it forever. You're burning Cap, Steve Rogers. You're burning Iron Man. Robert Downey Jr. is about done. You're burning Thor. Okay? So while, yes, you could get Bucky as Cap, and you could maybe convince Jane Foster to come back if she's the lead in
or
a
recap,
superhero.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, or whatever.
Recast it.
You're burning a lot of your big-time characters. But the next wave, if you had the Fantastic Four, you have the Fantastic Four and Spider-Man for your next wave, which technically is the beginning of the actual Marvel Universe from the 60s. It began first with Fantastic Four and then with Spider-Man.
And then the Avengers character?
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be a safe place for them to anchor the universe is on Fantastic Four and Spider-Man.
Touche.
So for me,
there are a lot of stories to be told with those.
Well, that's
properties.
The thing. You could go in and do Doctor Doom, then you do the symbiote suit, then you could do Galactus, you could do Secret Wars. I mean, there's if you get Fantastic Four and Spider-Man together, you got another 22 films. You do. I mean,
and spinoffs and all.
That's the whole thing. Like, and Kevin Feige. This is where I'm thinking. I'm really thinking.
Maximum Carnage, Human Torch versus Symbiote.
Yeah, you could. Kevin Feige said recently that there's no plans for Fantastic Four. They don't even know what they would do with it if they ever got it back. They don't see how it would fit. Bullshit. He's too smart. The guy's too smart. He built a 22 episode cinematic universe with television.
Not only
he's
that,
fucking
but
brilliant.
There's a rumor that there's a scroll. Where, like, it even precedes Iron Man. Like, all the history, it then starts with, like, Thor. It's, like, from the Norse mythology. Like, there's this scroll that when you get into, you brought in to do a Marvel movie, they show you this timeline.
So it's not that giant tomb of a book with all the different, like, tabs sticking out of it that has, like,
it's
a candy gauntlet all over it.
No,
it's actually, like...
It's like a scroll they roll out long so you can follow the timeline, apparently.
That's
that's the thing. Like, they've got to be playing it cool.
Yeah. No,
because what they're going to do, and this is, I'm hoping.
Because everyone
right.
freaked out, because they said, no way are we going to get Spider-Man, and they did.
Right, and they did, because the Sony hack showed. And I think that people got excited for that, and it was a happy accident. I'm sure they wanted to do a massive surprise press release.
Yeah.
But I think what they're doing now is they're saying, we don't have any plans, screw it, screw you, Fox, we don't really care. And we're canceling the comic book, you know, like it's done. Like we're not even going to advertise.
They canceled it.
Oh yeah, like they split up the Fantastic Four. Like, you know, they weren't advertising anything about it. They weren't pushing the characters.
How was the popularity of the Fantastic Four before they canceled it? Like, had it diminished to the point where it's just like
no? It had just come off this Hickman run that was apparently one of the greatest runs of all time. It was critically acclaimed.
Interesting.
And I think what they're doing is they're going to let the Sony deal. And now Sony's also talking about, we're going to do a Venom film, and we're going to do all this other stuff. I'm telling you, after Homecoming, they see these box office numbers, cash the check. It's free money.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do anything but get a check. Nothing. Just let them do whatever they want. Make money doing nothing. Why involve yourself in trying to make other films that you might screw up when all you have to do is say, do whatever you want and pay us? So I think Marvel might, and Disney...
I don't think they're the do-whatever-you-want kind of thing. They would still have control.
Fox?
You're talking about Fox. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I'm saying Sony, right? Like, Sony just cashed your check with Spider-Man now. Just let Marvel make you money.
Is it just like they're not even involved in it? Like, it's just their name that appears?
Well, they're involved in, like, the promotion of it.
Oh, I see.
But they're not involved in the creative of it.
Oh, okay. So it's all Marvel.
Right.
The shots.
Yeah. So, and that's like Paramount with Hulk. It's like, it's a distribution deal, not a creative deal anymore.
Yeah, cashed a check.
So just cash the check, man.
What is he doing now? Nothing.
Right. Just cash the check.
Like, you lost money from the 2015 one, didn't you?
You could literally make that. You could, and if they're going to make that, like I think, just like Sony, Marvel's next wave, the cornerstones of that universe could actually, they would be paying out other studios.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a no-brainer. And I think Feige is leveraging that.
Okay, they didn't lose money. The budget was $155 million, and the box office was $168.
That's the box office. That doesn't include their marketing budget.
Oh, true.
They lost money.
Okay.
Yeah, believe me, they lost money in that. So that to me, is what I think. I think they're going to leverage it. There's no way after Spider-Man that they're going to try to work something out.
No, I fully believe that, like, in our lifetime, Marvel will get Fantastic.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it needs it.
It's only a matter of when.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool.
All right.
Well, I'm happy that we have been able to wrap up on this fantastical forecasting note.
Ah!
A little bit of FF humor for you. This has been a wonderful journey, Keith.
It has. I really enjoyed this. And I like that it's bookended by, like...
Yeah.
We started with a premise, and then we ended with predictions for the future of the MCU.
And we'll see. We'll see. You know what? If Fantastic Four ever makes it into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, maybe we record a 5-minute "We Were Right" episode.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I learned a lot watching these with a goal in mind to look at it. And I feel like I understand more about the industry that I work in, and I feel like I understand more about
movies in general. And, like,
story structure.
I think it would have been interesting to watch them in chronological release. Like,
yeah.
That would have shown us how storytelling, how directing style, how, like, popular actors, and, like, what the popular actor should look like, and what the cinematica, the special effects would look like, and to kind of also be able to measure... audience response and dollar response as the movies grew.
Yeah.
I think that would have been one variation on this project that would have taught us other things beyond what we've learned.
I think that would be more of like a blog, accompaniment to this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You
should do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we had more time, like,
you said,
I would totally
you had plenty
be down
of free
to
time,
do that.
Graham.
Hush.
Instead of watching Fantastic Four 2015 again, I suggest you do that instead.
Oh, bear that in mind.
Like, you start your, like, board of, like, the timeline. And then...
I'll get my own scroll out and start writing where it all begins.
Yeah, there you go.
Ah, the serials from the 40s, the television movies of the 70s, the indie films of the 80s, and then the missed blockbusters of the 2000s.
Blade was pretty good.
Blade was amazing.
Blade was like 2000, so I like to
include it in the 90s.
I like to include that in the chunk of good indie movies, I'd say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, thank you, the listener, for coming along with us on this journey. And please, like, tell your friends. I mean, this is a bookended podcast, so it's
beginning, middle, and end.
It's never going to be dated because the MCU started. So forever, this is our... They're never going to make more old movies.
Unless we discover there was some buried in some sort of release, which will force us to come out of retirement and do a new one.
That's true.
Which would be pretty cool. I'd actually love to see whatever they made and lost.
Yeah, if you could unearth something that, like...
Keep that in mind, Keith.
Another unreleased Roger Corman film.
Yeah.
It's the Roger Corman Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Well, that could be pretty... Anyway, we get off topic. Now, this is Graham.
I'm Keith.
Paula.
And thank you for listening.